Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
This may feel strong, but you people are stupid.
OMG! It's Felger and Maz, 95 The Sports Hub.
All right, we're cleaning up the shrapnel here at our Star Market Studios at the TD Garden. Bruins, Blue Jackets, Game 1, Round 2, coming up here tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub, which we will get to. We will get to plenty of Bruins stuff later on in the program, but it's also the first round of the NFL draft. I think it's a really interesting year for the Patriots, not just the first round, but the entire draft and where their roster sits in general. So this is where we're starting, and we'll continue with your thoughts. Joe in Pittsfield on the Patriots' recent drafting history. Go ahead.
Well, their drafting history is not real good, the way they've done things, but I don't think they need a quarterback early. I think they need to take care of the defense. I really agree about that defensive back from Vanderbilt. I'd look out for him, and if they can't trade for Rosen, look out for the quarterback from North Carolina State. But I think they need to go to get real good players and pick out the best ones. Thank you.
Okay, well, that's obvious. And they've had sort of a young talent drain here recently, which, you know, hasn't impacted them because Belichick is so damn good, Brady's so damn good, and everyone else is really can't figure it out. You know, it's and the league coming down is as big a part of it, I think, as anything. But they have to get younger. Yeah, I think they're the second or third oldest team in the league last year. So
I mean, I think that's a major issue again, and this goes hand in hand with it because you just don't have players coming out of the draft. And Murray's right about that draft 2 years ago. They traded away all their picks. My goodness, you know, Brandon Cooks, Coney Yealy, Dwayne Allen was a trade in that draft,
oh,
if I remember
right. I forgot
right.
about that, too.
Like, they just gave away pick after pick after pick, and they were all at the front end of the draft. It's one thing to trade, you know, a fifth and a seventh for a sixth and a player. Like, it's fine, you know, the Kyle Van Noy drafts or whatever the world. But and I don't even remember what they gave up for him. But when you're giving up first, seconds, and fourths, you better get those players and keep them for a while.
Matt's in Framingham.
Yeah,
Matt, you're on the air. How are you doing?
That helped a
Matt.
Lot. Yes.
Matthew, you're up, dude. You're on the air.
Yes, I know. So, okay. So I wanted to talk about quarterbacks and coaches. In the NFL, it's a very rare thing. It's different than any other sport. You could have a quarterback where if he was drafted by another team, he could be a you know, semi-star. But if he's drafted by, let's say, the Cleveland Browns a couple years ago, he'd be on his couch in 3 months. Coaches, you could have a coach that, let's say, Bowles, if he was coaching at Pittsburgh, he would be, you know, right? I think Pittsburgh would be a better team. Whereas Mike Tomlin,
hey,
if
Matt,
he was
what's
coaching
the point?
Where,
what's the path
so
point?
My whole point is that I think that quarterbacks in the draft can be overlooked. But in this draft, there is no quarterback except for the one that we can't get, Murray, that is worth going after. Now, I'm not with Jim Murray saying F the future. I think we need to go after Rosen. Actually, everything that Bedard was saying, I agreed with. It almost made me.
Okay, let me just stop you there before you give me too much.
I'm okay with them trading for Rosen, and it's not just for my, like, you know, spite and the whole Trump thing. I actually think that there is some potential there, and he played for a terrible team last year, so you can't just judge on his one season that he had with Arizona.
Well, you want to just Jimmy, do you have the Greg Bedard cut on Rosen? He said something very interesting that the scouts were telling him about Rosen, if you have it, Jim.
I'm not super crazy about him. I mean, there's a lot that we could talk about with him. He reminds me a lot of Aaron Rodgers in a lot of ways, in some of the not great ways, like his personality, how smart he is. But I think with the Patriots, Rosen is a guy who he needs to be challenged. And I think the Patriots would be a perfect landing spot for him. I think the way that the Patriots game plan each week would really feed into who he is as a player. He's got all the tools. I thought he showed a lot last year with a bad team, a bad line, bad weapons. I think he certainly has the potential. And, you know, I talked to a bunch of, you know, NFL executives, and they said that he would be, it's 1A, 1B if he was in this year's draft with Murray. And so you're talking about a guy who, you know, would be a top 10 selection in both drafts. And I don't know how they don't think seriously about that.
Okay, just the value part of it.
Sure.
If they deem him to be that good, like a Kyler Murray kind of guy, 1A, 1B, and you can get him for 32 overall.
Then they should.
I mean, that's, but if they don't like him, they don't like him, right? Then you don't do it just to do it.
But that's the kind of guy they should trade for, is someone whose value may have dipped a little because it looked worse than it really was, who's still got a lot of potential and that they can mold.
Okay, but here's what you need to factor, what Matt in Framingham is missing, that you don't like any of the other guys. Remember Belichick's coaching and developing them. So you're not just analyzing the raw ability in college or what they have right now. It's, are they smart enough? Are they coachable? And when you give them to Belichick for 2 years, what do you end up with? That's the whole point of doing this now when you have Belichick. You're not dependent on that player's sole ability and sole skill set. You're giving them to Bill. So that's the whole point. That's why I want to do it now while Bill is still here. And if he's over the Garoppolo thing, he can reinvest in the next guy and just do it all over again. That to me is the whole equation. It's the next guy with Belichick.
But what I don't get, though, is because he's drafted under the quarterbacks and because he's Bill Belichick, by the way, you're saying this, that it should automatically work. No matter what quarterback you draft, it would work. So why didn't it with Ryan Mallett?
I'm not saying it's automatically going to work. I like my chances better with him than Josh McDaniels. I do. Don't you?
I don't know. I think it has more.
You don't know.
I think it has more to do with the talent of the actual player than it does the coaching.
It
because the way you're talking about this, the coaching automatically is going to matter so much that it can take a bum and turn him into a diamond.
I think it's so important. I think at that position, if you get bad coaching in your first 2, 3, 4 years, you're absolutely porked. Oh, I think it's so huge. The talent of the player is more important. I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you. Bill obviously can't turn chicken crap into chicken salad because you have Ryan Mallett and Rohan Davey and some others. I mean, I'm not telling you that. But I think the coaching and the environment you come into as a quarterback is freaking huge. Huge. So bring the quarterback into this environment with this coach. And if you don't like every single thing about him coming out of college, well, that's okay.
I mean, if you don't have talent, it doesn't matter, right? But if you do have talent, the coaching can screw it up. So, like, I mean, to me, that's sort of the point, I think.
Dickie in Worcester, go ahead on the Pats drafting.
Hey, gentlemen, I appreciate you taking the call. I just wanted to touch real quick on Bradard. He said that he had, that we haven't drafted a Pro Bowler in the last whatever, how many years. I think that's
since Jamie Collins.
Kind of a dumb statement and a dumb, you know, stat. I mean, how many times are we picking inside the top 20? We're picking 25 and on. And when's the last, I mean, we took two guys last year. You know, they didn't. Isaiah Wynn hurt. Sony Michel hurt half. Year before that, didn't have a first rounder. Year before that, didn't have a first rounder. Year before that was 32. Year before that was 29. Just think that comment isn't the great. I mean, we're still winning. We don't need to have Pro Bowlers. I'm sure the majority of them come from the first round. So just kind of want to hear your thoughts on that, guys.
Is the statement accurate?
Is what statement accurate?
That they haven't drafted a Pro Bowler since Jamie Collins in 2013.
So, again, this guy's just being a baby. He's being a baby. They've had bad drafts. They've had bad drafts. Fact. And you know what? You can talk about wherever they pick. You can talk all you want. Logan Mankins was out of the first round. He made Pro Bowls. Vince Wilfork was late in the first round. He made him. Rob Gronkowski made him. He was in the second. The point is they hit on some picks, regardless of where they were. They haven't hit on picks in consistently in a while. Now, I'll give you flowers. Flowers, a Pro Bowl caliber player, and for that matter, so is Shaq Mason.
Yeah,
should be a Pro Bowler.
But, right? Those kinds of players. Fine, I give you those.
But, I mean, to this guy's point, yeah, they've been drafting low. They were drafting low when they drafted Deion Branch at the end of the second round in 2002. They were drafting at the end of the first round when they drafted Vince Wilfork, 21. Maybe that's more of a mid-first round pick, but you get the drift. They were drafting low when they drafted Logan Mankins, 32, as you just mentioned, one of the best guards in the league. Let me just give you some more. I mean,
again, then we're throwing second rounders out there too, like Gronk.
Devin,
right?
McCourty was drafted 27 overall. Rob Gronkowski was drafted 42 overall. Aaron Hernandez was a murderer, but he was a talented guy. He was in the fourth round. He would have made Pro Bowls if he hadn't gone off murdering people. Dante Hightower was picked 25 overall. He's a Pro Bowl caliber player. I can't remember if he's actually been selected for to a Pro Bowl or not.
Chandler Jones.
Okay, so there you go. I mean, they've done it before.
And Jamie Collins was a second rounder. So, like, you know, even when we say it's since Jamie Collins in the second round. You hit on a second round pick. You know, to me, the other thing, and I was just looking at it, you know, this whole idea that the sixth and the seventh and Belichick getting all these players late in the draft. When's the last time they did that? When's the last time they got a sixth or a seventh? Because I was just looking.
You mean a sixth or a seventh that impacted?
Yeah, so Landon Roberts was a sixth. That's borderline to me because I think you can find that. Okay, that's borderline. Other than that, you got to go back to Edelman. Edelman. That was 10 years ago.
They've done well with the undrafted guys.
Yes.
Malcolm Butler. What is this? C.J. Jackson, was he? He was undrafted, right?
J.C. Jackson.
He was undrafted, right?
I think that's right.
So they've actually hit on some of those guys, if you can believe it. They may have done better with that group than the, you know, fifth to seventh rounders.
David Andrews was another one, too.
Paul in New Hampshire. Very good, Jim. Paul in New Hampshire, what do you got?
Hey, how you guys doing? I think the Patriots have an up on everybody, and I think you're right, Felger, that they should do it now with a quarterback. Well, they do have Brady in there, and they do have Belichick in there, so they can develop this guy now before Brady's gone and Belichick's gone. But I think they have an up. Why they don't rely on their picks. That's why they trade up. And you know what? They draft guys that nobody else. They take guys that nobody else wants. They'll trade their picks for some guy that is a murderer, like you said. And,
no, but I mean, why is that a good thing if it's Jordan Richards or Tavon Wilson? Because
it's
really not a good thing.
You're right. You're absolutely right, though. They do need to find somebody to start developing now. They don't have.
They can just get away with it because Bill's such a damn good coach. And so you don't all of his. And I'm not telling you he's bad at the draft or he's bad at personnel. He's good at those things. But he makes mistakes like everybody else. He makes way more mistakes doing that than he does coaching. And the coaching is so good that you don't know it hides the misses. And even the players that may not even be that good, but he coaches up and puts just the right spot. And all of a sudden, you know, again, I'm not picking on Kyle Van Noy because we have a back and forth, but Kyle Van Noy is kind of a nobody. I mean, he's just kind of a fringe roster player. He comes here, and within 2 years, they put him in just the right spot, put him in just the right place, accentuate his positives, hide his weaknesses, and now he's a borderline star. That wouldn't happen anywhere else. So was that a good personnel move, or is that just Bill being so good at the coach and doing what he does with the players that he becomes this guy?
No, that's a coach.
So, I mean, that's all I'm saying. And if you think that they've won six Super Bowls because of how they've drafted, I'll tell you, you're effed in the head. They're good at it. But that's not why they're here. They make mistakes like everybody else. And in the last couple of years, maybe they've made a little too many. The question is, does it catch up? Does it catch up? When does it catch up?
Well, again, so some
and
of
let
that-
me tell you, if you have a quarterback, same thing. Peyton Manning went to the playoffs 13 straight years. Well, you know, every year the Colts were winning that division. How did they draft? I don't even know. They have the quarterback. Get the quarterback and you can screw up at the draft. That's sort of the point. So get the quarterback.
Yeah, there's no question. Look, I just think that, you know, we're getting to a stage here now where they've had too many misses in a row. And again, I'm leaving last year out because we don't know last year yet. Michelle was pretty good. Bentley might be a player. Isaiah Wynn might be a player, in which case, fine. Then they started bringing in inventory again, if that's what you want to call it. But they got to start hitting on some of these picks. The drought's gone on too long. This has been 4 or 5 years now where they're not getting enough players.
By the way, this Clayton Thorson that we hit on the big board.
Oh, no.
They hosted him on a private visit recently.
Private visit. A private. I'm telling you, the Felger big
quarterback?
Yeah.
The Felger Maz big board.
Is that the Northwestern kid?
Yes.
The Northwestern
the
kid.
The kid who throws a lot of interceptions, isn't accurate, and doesn't move well.
Oh, my God.
Okay? The Felger Maz big board, it knows.
I don't want a stupid quarterback from Northwestern.
We continue with your calls after this.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelp.com. Line MA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Felger and Mass. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The player who the New England Patriots will take at 32, if they stay, and you're going to put $5 down versus any other player who you can choose in this draft. Who are you putting your $5 on?
6'3", corner out of Vanderbilt, intelligent as hell, Jo'Wan Williams, a big Hawking corner who we had on our show and absolutely blew me away. Smart as can be, great personality, and wants to do whatever a team is asking for. He looked like a Patriot the second he walked in. Jo'Wan Williams, Vanderbilt. That's my pick.
Jo'Wan. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jo'Wan Williams from Vanderbilt. Okay, that was a Peter King podcast with Peter Stragler. He's the draft analyst for the NFL Network. So Peter King puts it right to him, says, you know, if you had to bet on the Patriots at 32, where do you go? And he says, a player we hit on the big board just the other day.
Jo'Wan Williams.
I'm telling you.
Jo'Wan.
The Felger-Maz big board. How do it know, but it knows.
Jo'Wan.
Cornerback. J-O-E-J-U-A-N. Jo'Wan Williams from Vanderbilt. And as usual, I'm a butcher with names. Jo'Wan?
Jo'Wan, yeah.
Jo'Wan.
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 Williams.
Jo'Wan Williams, Vanderbilt. He's a junior. He's 6'2", half inch, 205 pounds. Greg Bedard also mentioned this particular player. He, you know, I only cut off at his strong points. He's a very big corner with height and length, quickness of a much smaller man. So he's big but quick.
See, don't you love that combo?
Absolutely love that combo.
I mean, that means you can defend just about everything. That kind of body sounds like a left corner.
So he had 4 interceptions last year for Vanderbilt, who, you know, let's face it, probably got smoked on a weekly basis.
Right.
Playing where they're, you know, the schedule they play and whatnot. But Jo'Wan Williams, corner out of Vanderbilt, is someone who's gained steam. And if you were following along on the Felger and Maz big board, you would have known that because we hit him the other day.
So Bedard makes a good point, too, that, you know, Stephon Gilmore has a big cap hit next year. There's a jump. And look, you know, so we say, so what? He's a corner, you know, a number one corner. He's worth it. They will restructure or they will move on. And typically with that kind of player, they go get leverage. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, they did it with Malcolm Butler. They knew they were going to run into an issue there, so they went and got Gilmore. They always give themselves leverage.
Okay, so we talk about the recent drafts and what's left on the roster. It's really, again, it's a testament to how good Belichick is and Brady is and Gronkowski and Edelman and McCourty and the players, you know, the core that they have here. And, frankly, how weak the field is that they could have what they've had at the draft and still be as dominant as they are. First and second rounders drafted this decade. So, again, nice round number. I didn't draw the line anywhere to, you know, make it look good or bad. I just, this decade, first and second rounders. Let me give them to you. Going backwards. Isaiah Wynn, Sony Michel, Duke Dawson, Cyrus Jones, Malcolm Brown, Jordan Richards, Dominic Easy, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jamie Collins, Aaron Dobson, Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower, Tavon Wilson, Nate Solder, Rozai Dowling, Shane Vereen. Of those players I just mentioned, who's still here?
Dante Hightower.
Right, Hightower is.
Okay, so
Wynn, and then the guys from last year.
So Wynn, Michelle, and Dawson are still here. Cyrus Jones, gone. Malcolm Brown, gone. Jordan Richards, I can't remember, he's gone.
He's gone. He was in Atlanta last year to start the year.
Dominic Easley, gone. Garoppolo, gone. Jamie Collins, gone. Aaron Dobson, long gone. Chandler Jones, long gone. Tavon Wilson, long gone.
Thank God.
Nate Solder, gone. Rozai Dowling, hardly ever here. Shane Vereen, gone. So of all players drafted, and I started in 2011, this decade, all the players drafted since 2011 in the first and second round, Dante Hightower and the three guys last year.
Yeah, that's it. Hightower and the guys from last year's draft, two of whom didn't really play. Isaiah Wynn and Bentley. Bentley was here at the very beginning, but obviously got hurt, and Wynn got hurt in the preseason. So they still have Michelle. But I would hope all those guys are still here. You haven't had a chance to see them suck yet.
Jawan Bentley's in the fifth round or whatever.
Correct.
I'm talking about just in the first and second rounds.
Oh, right, right. So I said, that's right. Yeah, I include
first and second round.
Yeah.
So I'm telling you, there's not another team in the league that could survive that. And not only have you survived it, you're still the best. Easily. Which is just, I mean, it says something about the things I just said. Belichick, Brady, Gronkowski, Edelman, McCourty, Hightower, that core, and the field.
See, what alarms me about that as much as anything is the first round misses or the absence of picks in the first round. Because historically, Belichick nailed all of those. And I say nailed, but he almost never had a complete bust in the first round.
Right.
Like I
still don't think he does. I think Dominic Easley's as close as it gets. I know you don't like Malcolm Brown, but he was a starter for a couple of years here.
So he wasn't a bust.
He wasn't a bust.
Okay, but what I'm saying is look at his history in the first round. Richard Seymour, Ty Warren, Vince Wilfork, Logan Mankins, Mayo, you know, Patrick Chung was second round, McCourty. Like, he hits on those. He hits on those. He gets players in the first round. They in this decade, they have won Hightower.
So there's two parts here. I mean, because he nailed some picks. He nailed the Chandler Jones pick. It's just they didn't pay him. And, you know, they did well with the Jamie Collins pick in the second round. He wasn't a fit for whatever reason. So there's, you know, there's that piece to it as well. He drafted. I mean, Garoppolo was an amazing pick. Hit it out of the park. Brady outlived him. So there's like some circumstances to it that, you know, not all those are bad picks. It's just, you know, what's left? What's left? And it's the three guys from last year in Hightower.
In a lot of ways, this drought is worse than the one they went through last decade. You know, you said 07, 09, right?
Yeah.
I think this one's worse. I mean, again, they're not hitting on anything, really.
We continue with your thoughts here. Dave and Haverhill, go ahead.
What's up, gentlemen? My call is on the Bruins. I believe, Doug, you said it. Columbus is a tough team. I switched my thing up because I've been on hold for so long, but I'm looking forward to the game tonight. But I'm really hoping they're banging with, you know, the second line. And
Dave, I'm going to let you go because your phone's not that great, and we're going to do Bruins coming up here at 4 o'clock. So just sit tight. I promise you we'll get to it. We'll do a ton of it, but it's also an important day for the Patriots. Wayne in Beverly, what do you got for me on the Pats?
Hi. Huge Pats fan. I'll try to do this as quickly as possible. You know, Belichick, best head coach ever. But I'm always left disappointed after his drafts. You know, we need to hit on something this year on offense in the early rounds. Wide receivers, tight ends. The only way, I mean, if they can get one of these D tackles out of Clemson in the first round, I'd be happy with.
Well, how about this, Wayne? I'll just stop you. So you're now going on defense, too. How about just young and impactful?
Right. How about a good player?
Young, impactful.
Yes. I mean, to me, that's what it's about. They need young, talented players. And again, I say that in part because, you know, let's just say 2 years to make it easy. But they don't have a ton of time left with Bill and Brady. They just don't. So they're going to need players when those guys are gone.
Let me tell you what frustrates me the night of. And it's really down to one thing. I used to get frustrated by the down and out, trading down and trading out. But that's worked out for them enough where go ahead and trade down and out if you want. I don't care anymore. I used to really butt my head against that. But, you know, they got Rob Gronkowski from trading down and out. And they traded down and out from the Cordarrelle Patterson pick all the way back when. And that's when they got, I think they got Jamie Collins out of that.
I think that's right.
And maybe even Edelman out of that. So, like, I've gone back and looked at enough of those trade downs where sometimes it doesn't work, sometimes it does. But it's, you know, go ahead, trade down. I'm not going to lose my mind over that. The only thing I care about now is if they draft a running back too high. That's the only thing I think that gets stupid, which I still don't like the Sony Michel pick last year. And after watching Sony Michel play, I think I was proven right. I mean, he was fine, but you needed to spend a first-round pick on a guy like that? Yeah, nice player. But he's not special. So the only thing I care about now is don't draft a running back too high. And I think they should be drafting a quarterback. Those are my two things. Other than that, I'm not going to get, like, I'm not going to dork out to the board and say that they drafted a guy at 32 who's projected to go 58. Like, I don't know. I don't care. You know, and even if you want to trade down and out, go nuts. Just get young, impactful players however you get them.
Yeah, wouldn't kill me if they traded up. I mean, I you know, because to me,
oh, it's just so rare.
Well, I believe in talent being in the top 20 picks of the draft. Call it 20, okay? And I know that they've hit on some guys after 20 again, Will Fork, Mankins, etc. I know they've hit there, but man, you get Belichick in the top 20, you're going to get something good.
Back to your thoughts after Murray's up.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Broadcasting live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio. It's Felger and Mads. Bruins game day on your home of the Bees. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, folks, the Felger and Mads big board is complete. Brought to you by the Peterson School. Quarterbacks are now on the board. That is our entire roster right there of players. Already several players that we have hit on have been linked to the Patriots. This Juwan Williams, the corner, feels to be like a hot name right now for the Patriots in the first round. We hit on three quarterbacks. Daniel Jones from Duke, who's been a name that's already been linked to them. So there's nothing groundbreaking there, but it is where Murray... Well, he didn't hit Daniel Jones. He cranked me in the hand, and I happened to be touching the picture of Daniel Jones, so that's how we do it, closest to. So I was holding my hand right above this picture of Daniel Jones right there. So he gets the nod, Daniel Jones. We also hit on Eric Dungy out of Syracuse, another quarterback prospect, late-round prospect. And then we hit on a quarterback from Northwestern named Clayton Thorson. According to this draft magazine, he's projected in the sixth round, except we've gotten word that the Patriots really like this guy.
And they brought him in for a private visit.
Okay, so was it a private visit here at Gillette, one of their 30 visits at Gillette, or did they go with him? And
I believe it was one of the ones here. It was him and Jared Stidham, the quarterback out of Auburn.
Okay, so we've already hit on names that they've been sniffing around. Did they also bring in Dax Raymond, the tight end prospect? There was a tight end prospect I thought we hit on that they had already been sniffing around. So anyway, we're, as usual, we're in the neighborhood. We'll see what hits. But the quarterbacks, you know how I feel about it. I want them going for it. I want them to start taking swings at it. We asked Greg Bedard, Jimmy, cue up the first cut about his thoughts on the quarterbacks in this draft. Greg Bedard does not like the quarterbacks in this draft, at least for the Patriots. Go ahead.
I really don't like any of them. Not for them. I mean, you know, look, Kyle Murray will go one probably or somewhere in that range. You know, and he's a playmaker. He's the type of guy who'll make a bad team like the Cardinals better. But after that, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a lot of, you know, game managers, guys who, you know, some of them like Daniel Jones have been scripted. You got a guy like, I mean, I would rather take a chance on a guy like, you know, Will Greer, who's got a little bit more gunslinger in him than one of these safe guys. But I think it's pretty slim pickings. I mean, I know they haven't been linked, and, you know, Schefter said, like, that the Cardinals haven't talked to the Patriots about Josh Rosen yet, but if I'm the Patriots and I'm looking to get a quarterback this year, there is no doubt in my mind if I can get him for 32 or second or third or whatever, I'm going for Josh Rosen.
Okay, so that's Bedard's take on the quarterback. I'm fine with all of it. I'm fine with all of it. Just start trying. That's my point. Pete in the car, what do you got?
Hey, I just, you know, I love Murray, but I think he's being so short-sighted not wanting to take a quarterback. You know,
agreed.
The best thing that the Patriots could do is draft a quarterback, and it helps them right now because it motivates Brady. The more, like, look what happened when you drafted Garoppolo. Like, not only did you go back and you won two more Super Bowls, but then you were able to trade that pick just because Brady, you know, didn't die. But you were able to trade that pick for another first-round pick. I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk.
Pete, the Jimmy Garoppolo drafting, thanks for the call, was the second best move Belichick's ever made. It got you – it got – Brady was – yeah, I know you couldn't admit it at the time, but now you can see it. He was better in those 4 years after 2014 than he was the previous 4 years.
I don't think that's even remotely debatable anymore.
And you won three more Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And he was right there in the middle of it. And the drafting of Garoppolo was a part of that. Now, I don't think that repeats itself because now Brady really is at the end. And, like, how could he – drink Brady's going to get all competitive and pissy if they draft a quarterback now? I mean
– no, because I think his attitude is that in this case he's probably gone either way.
Right, for crying out loud. Now you're 42. Like, you know – I can see him being pissed at 37. At 42, you're going to get pissed?
No one's going to come in and be an immediate threat like Garoppolo could have been at that point, you know? So.
And even then with Garoppolo, it took a little while.
It's a long way of me saying, I want the quarterback. Maybe it motivates Brady a little, but that's secondary to me. Because I don't think it's going to motivate him like the Garoppolo pick. I do it just because it's a smart thing to do. It's the right thing to do for your franchise. You can't let Brady walk and have no one ready to go. You can't. That cannot happen. Cannot happen. Billy in Rhode Island on the Pats. Go ahead, Bill.
How you doing, Felger? I've been listening to you guys. I agree with you, Felger, on this coaching situation. This guy knows how to coach better than anybody. We all agree with that. He's the best around. But let me tell you, the thing that bothers me is, and you may think I'm crazy, but A.J. McCarron came out of Alabama. He won a championship for them. He got drafted by the Bengals. They gave him $10 million. And then he got drafted four more times. He got traded four times after that. He's with the Texans.
Billy, you want him?
He just signed a contract on Tuesday for $3 million. I think if they brought him in earlier, not when he was at $10 million, but when he got...
No, I got it. Let me cut you off. Should they have gone after A.J. McCarron?
Yes, that kind of guy, yes. I mean, again, someone who had a pedigree in college, was a winner, ended up in a different organization and, you know, and actually did okay when they put him in there in the postseason and handled himself okay and then was going to move on. Yes. Yes, that's totally the kind of profile they should be looking at. A guy that someone else took a chance on, that had promise, that got released, and that they could bring in and work with. No question that's the type of profile they should be looking at.
Long commercial-free segment right after these words.
Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio, Bruins Game Day on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
From the center of the hockey universe, it's Felger and Mazz. This is Bruins Game Day. Live from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How do you think they've done at the draft the last 3 to 5 years?
Not well. I mean, you know, look, a person on Twitter pointed this out to me, and it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. They haven't drafted a Pro Bowl player since Jamie Collins, 2013. That's 6 years ago. I mean, they have some guys that could get there. I mean, like Shaq Mason, you know, Sony Michel, if he continues to be productive, he could get in the mix for a Pro Bowl. But they haven't had a guy voted to the Pro Bowl since 2013. They had a great run there. 2011, 2010, 11, 12, 13. They've been really living off that. And, you know, I think this past year's draft, I think like Bentley, once he gets healthy, you know, Jackson, I think they have some players in that draft. I think they will pop, but they need more of those. They need to start stacking those for the future because they've been living off their older drafts.
Bedard on from earlier. Give you one more Bedard cut. And that is this idea of them trading up. There's a lot of chatter down at Foxborough, frankly, what we're hearing, that they're going to move up. They're going to move up, and they could have it could be O-line, D-line, and that's sort of the target, and they're talking about moving up. And so I asked Bedard, is he hearing the same thing? This is what he said.
I don't believe it, and the people that I've talked to around the league, they don't think so. They think, you know, this is a draft overall that is very light on elite players, blue-chip players, and, you know, there's a whole bunch of good players sort of in the middle. That doesn't speak to me as a draft that Belichick would do that. Everyone that I talk to, people that have worked for Belichick, they think that he either stays there or he trades out of it, that he'll take somebody that falls to him, or he'll just look to get out. I mean, that 32 spot is a good place. The Rams will probably be dealing at 31. But 32, you're going to have teams that are going to want to get in the first round for that fifth-year control, the fifth-year option. So I would say the chances are they trade out of it, but I could see them staying and taking like a Daniel Lawrence or somebody like that.
Who's
the
Daniel Lawrence?
Out of Clemson.
I was just gonna... admittedly, I'm not a college guy, and I don't invest in names in the board unless they're on our Felgram as big board, because I just think it's a giant dork fest and it's just this effluvium of names. As soon as people start mentioning names, I'm like, whoop, like I immediately zone out. Like I don't pay attention to any of the names unless maybe it's quarterback, you know, all
right, or the top 10 players in the draft. Not even that, but like, you know, you know Haskins, a quarterback at Ohio State, right? You know who he is, at least
barely, you know. So I just, you know, talking to me about position, track record, general philosophy, fine. As soon as you start throwing names at me, like, whatever, dude.
I'm holding out hope that Belichick's trading out. Again, I'm putting my money on Bob in Nantucket. Was that his name, Bob?
Trading up, you mean?
Yeah. Is that Bob was the caller?
Bob in Nantucket, who ran into Bill at a coffee shop, and Bill told him, just wait. We got some real stuff in store for you.
Yep, he told Bob in Nantucket to be on the lookout. And you know what? I think Bob in Nantucket is our deep throat. I'm going with it.
Mary Manchester, give me a thought on the draft.
I'm hoping that they draft a quarterback, Mike, because I do want him under Belichick's tutelage. But I think the most important quality for the new quarterback is that he has a high football IQ, because that's what they say that, you know, makes Brady so special. And I wanted to know whether or not you thought any of these potential candidates had that.
Okay, so, Mary, I'll drop you. Duke and Northwestern, does that mean you're automatically smart?
No. I know idiots that went to Harvard.
Yeah, me too. Ryan Fitzpatrick. right there. Look, and I'll tell you what, this Northwestern kid threw 45 picks. The last thing I want is a Northwestern quarterback who threw 45 picks. You want to give me a guy from Alabama who threw 45 picks, I'll say, okay, well, at least there's an athlete there. Northwestern? So the guy's not athletic and he's dumb?
So, Mary, according to our 2019 Pro Football Weekly Draft Guide, Daniel Jones, a kid out of Duke, who has been linked to the Patriots. This was not a groundbreaking pick, but again, Murray chucked it, so this is what we end up with. His, according to the magazine, size, arm strength, patience in the pocket, very smart, aware, and instinctive, has a quick, tight delivery, can feel pressure. He's well-schooled in the art of playing quarterback. Why are you scoffing?
What does that mean?
It means he's smart.
Well-schooled in the art of playing quarterback. Well, where? Duke? Like, can he play in the NFL? I don't care if he's well-schooled or not.
Is Duke, do they have the coach that coached the Mannings?
I don't know.
Is that link? There's one of these guys.
No, that sounds familiar, actually.
That was coached by the Mannings. It was either this kid at Duke or something. And again, I don't remember names, but that sort of thing stands out. That, you know, was he really brought up by the same coaching that the Mannings were? Peyton and or Eli, maybe both, for all I know. This Clayton Thorson from Northwestern, who's, again, been linked to the Patriots that we hit on. Maz nailed it. Pink marker right down the middle. His strong points, good size, above average athleticism, smart. Smart.
Uh-huh.
Why do you scoff at that?
Again, he threw 45 picks at Northwestern. How smart can he be?
He went to Northwestern.
Okay, that's real world smart. Like, I'm talking football smart. I can give a rat's ass what he got in his SATs.
No, but you know what I mean. There's no linking. There's no linkage there.
No.
Can you be a stone cold moron and go to Northwestern?
Yes.
No.
Be a stone cold moron. Go to any school.
No. Again, you're misinterpreting me. There's a difference between a guy who can do my taxes.
I understand.
And a guy who can play quarterback for
but
the Patriots.
You don't think there's any crossover to a guy who's book smart and quarterback? Quarterback.
No, I don't. Look at Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I'm not talking about nose tackle. I'm not talking about, you know, gunner. I'm talking about quarterback. If you're smart, don't you think it applies and it can carry over a little bit?
No. No. Jim McMahon was dumb as a post, and he won a Super Bowl.
By the way,
no.
Duke's head coach, David Cutcliffe, just reading his Wikipedia page here, helped groom Super Bowl MVP Peyton Manning and one-time quarterback bust Heath Shuler, now a representative. And he helped recruit Eli Manning at Ole Miss.
So there you go.
Yeah. You know who coached the Mannings? Archie. Archie coached the Mannings. Now all of a sudden this guy's got the next Peyton Manning at Duke? I don't buy any of that bull crap, no. And the whole smart thing, you know, Mary in Manchester just said it. Football IQ. Different than real IQ. If there was some correlation, I could go down the street and find me some lawyer who could be the next quarterback of the Patriots.
I think there's some correlation at that position.
I don't.
I do. I think you can get away with being a dumbass at a lot of positions in sports. Quarterback, it's hard to be a total rank dumbass and get away with it at that position. It's hard. I'm not saying there aren't some dumb guys. You know, what Terry Bradshaw, they used to say he couldn't spell cat with the C and the T.
Yeah. Won four Super Bowls.
I said, no, that I get. Like, I'm not telling you, though, there's exceptions to every rule. I just think at that spot, it's hard to get away with being a complete dunderface.
Yeah. Again, I separate real smart.
I mean, you tell me in the modern guy. I mean, Peyton Manning thinks a goober, but he's not. He's a smart guy.
How about Eli? Okay, thank you for teeing that one up. Eli? Holy crap.
Ben Roethlisberger did win.
Another one. Knucklehead. Complete moron.
Moron.
Right? He won two titles.
Was it two or three?
Two.
So who else am I missing? I mean, Rodgers is smart, I think. Yeah. I think Breeze is reasonably smart. Russell Wilson's sharp as a tack. So maybe. But again, I separate the real smart from the football smart. It doesn't always translate.
At that position, it might a little bit. Just a little. All right, we're going to do a lot of Patriots draft today because first round's tonight. This is a really important draft for them. But we do have to start out getting to the Bruins and the Blue Jackets and the NHL playoffs, and we will do that now. We got you until 6:30 again, right? Are we on until 6:30?
We are.
Okay, so we'll give you bonus time as well to take it right up until Dunkin' Donuts pregame. The game is on tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The pregame starts at 6:30. We will go to 6:30, and we will begin our Bruins coverage now. And we'll do it with Kevin Paul DuPont. Another established hockey voice in town, who I think hates us, who was another charter member of the Boo Hoo Tuca crew. We had Edwards on the other day. Now we got Dupes. We're bringing them all in, and we're going to get his take on the series, start to get your take on the series, and we'll do it all after Murray's update without any commercial interruption. What? You're scoffing already.
No. He's real smart. See, he's not football smart. He's real smart.
Actual smart, but we'll see about that. He's about to get dumber after being on with us. That's for sure.
No, we'll drag him down.
Here's an update. No commercial.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you okay being called favorites by people above the team?
Call us whatever you want. We know how we feel in the room. We believe we're as good as anybody. We just got to play like it.
Bruins, Stanley Cup favorites. Isn't that unbelievable? Felger and Maz coming to you from our TD Garden Studios, our Star Market TD Garden Studios, where we are joined by the estimable, Kevin Paul DuPont of the Boston Globe joining us now in studio. Dupes, are they Stanley Cup favorites now?
I don't think so. No, I don't think anybody. The prohibitive favorite was Tampa, and look what happened. So I think
if you had to bet, if you had to put a few shekels on it, who would you bet on?
Yeah. In this series or
no,
overall?
No, overall. The field, the remaining eight.
I don't, have you seen odds, by the way?
Yes, I have them in front of me.
I mean,
according to VegasInsider.com.
Okay.
The
drum roll, please.
The odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup championship as of this morning are your Boston Bruins at 3-1. The Islanders and Sharks are next at 5-1. Then come the Blues at 6-1. The Jackets and Stars are 7-1. Excuse me. And then the Avalanche and Hurricanes are 15-2 or 7.5-1. According to Las Vegas, your Boston Bruins are the odds-on favorite to now win the Stanley Cup. Do you agree?
Odds-on favorite. I think they had Tampa 12-1. So I don't. I just don't have. I wouldn't have any faith as a gambler in any of those teams. We can go through the litany that you've heard before in terms of how the game is played, how the game is coached, how it's parodyized from start. That there's no – I don't feel it. I don't feel that there's a – to go to your point, making fun of the guest before he showed up, Tuca – does he engender that kind of faith? No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
So you think that really any one of those teams could win?
Absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I might go, well, who's worst? Who's got the worst?
The Hurricanes at 15-2 and the Avalanche at 15-2.
Sure, why not? I mean, throw $100 on
it. Well, no, so I mean the way I mean
see, I would throw those two teams out. I think those two teams can't win it. Well, the other six I think could.
I don't think Carolina can. Is it Mezrick is playing in that form?
Mezrick.
I mean, No. The Hurricanes would really surprise me.
Not only should they not. I mean, they go to a seventh game. They go to double overtime. Now they have to open the next series tomorrow night against Islanders. They've been so the odds aren't good. But it's just that's the way it is.
Dupes, I understand that anyone can win, and I agree with that. That's different than saying who's of all the teams that could win, which are all of them, who's got the best chance. And you don't think the Bruins have an appreciably better chance than the Islanders or the Blue Jackets or any of those teams?
No, I don't. I would say based on what I watched. In the first round, if I were making a favorite, right now I'd make Columbus. The way they played, they're young, they're enthusiastic. I believe a lot in that stuff, especially in this sport. Now, if you told me that was baseball or football, I'd get into. But there's a whole lot to be said here about the naivete of young kids who finally buy in. This is a hard coach to play for, so I think that detracts from it somewhat. But it's an eager bunch, and they do have talent.
Is it not different with Tampa and now Washington out of the way?
Sure it is.
I mean, that's the parting of the Red Sea. Do you know that all four division winners lost in the first
round?
Yes,
I do know that.
All four teams that won their division got knocked off, and some of them got swept.
Yeah, first time ever in NHL history, yeah.
Sure, the conference winners both got knocked out, and last year's cup finalists in terms of Washington and Vegas.
First round?
Now, the Vegas thing was bizarre. I mean, that
brutal call.
Brutal call, and then brutal on the PK. They give up four power play goals in the span of whatever it was, 4:01. I've never seen anything like it. That said, it has happened before. It's happened once. Happened 20 years ago between St. Louis and L.A.
Okay, Kevin Paul DuPont, you don't have supreme confidence in Rask? You spend a lot of time bashing people like us for criticizing Rask. I thought he was your guy.
Rask is my guy in the sense that I consider him in the top. Give me a number here.
10?
Yeah, easily top 10. You know, I would put him top 6 to 8. Now, a lot of people would have gone into this saying Holtby was their top. Look at Holtby last night.
He was horrible last night. He was a disaster.
It's just, I'm not sure. No, I am sure. We're in an era of the game that a goaltender really cannot be Dryden, cannot be Brodeur, cannot be Hasek. And I don't care who he is, how big he is.
Why is that? Because they all just play the butterfly and let it hit him?
Because, that's part of it is style. Part of it is just the amount of shots, the randomness, which has always been in the game. But for lack of any scientific term here, I think there's more randomness in it now just because of I think in many ways because there's not as much – the game doesn't allow as much skill in terms of pass and shoot. There's no working the puck around. Night after night, no matter what rink I'm in, whatever what teams I'm watching or what TV I'm watching, by and large, when the puck goes in the net, I'm left to say, how'd that happen? Well, that's not the way it used to be. You used to watch the play develop. You watched the passing, work the puck. You see that now sometimes on the power play, but even that's not a guarantee.
Is there a great goalie in the league right now? Like, instinctively, I would say maybe Carey Price. But is there a great goalie in the league right now?
No, not for my money. There isn't a dominating force. Dubnyk is a good goaltender. This guy is a good goaltender. Bobrovsky, who we'll see tonight, another good one. But it can be over in the first round series. If it's over in the first round series, do you go home and say, gee, the goaltender was really good? No, you won't.
Kevin, break down the series. What's the key here? Bruins, Blue Jackets.
I think for the Blue Jackets are going to be, can they carry it over what they did, and can they sustain it? I like this coach a lot, but he is a strong cup of coffee, and that can wear on any team. I think if they're as young as and intrigued as I think they can, I think that can sustain a lot of it. They picked up Duchesne, who's a good goal, who's a terrific talent up front, and Bobrovsky in net. They're a thorough team. I like them better than the Bruins team because of their youth and because of their enthusiasm.
Stylistically, do they play more to the Bruins style, where
yes,
it's more structured and it's and again, I keep using this stupid cliche, but it makes sense to me. More of a half-court game,
yeah,
versus, you know, Toronto, which is run and gun, and Tampa run and gun. Does the way the Blue Jackets play more conducive to the Bruins?
I don't know if it's more conducive. It's and I'm not going to say it's a mirror image, because I think they are faster. I think they're, in terms of their wingers, they're a bit stronger, I think.
They're big.
They are, and they play big. And they play big with this, again, I don't want to put too much on the coaching, but they certainly played big in that first series. Now, if we went back a month when they were trying to integrate these new guys, Dzingel, Duchesne, those are the two principal ones, then they brought in Texier, who's this young kid, very talented kid. It wasn't working. But it coalesced. Another thing about hockey is you just, again, back to cliches, you just get in, you see what happens. They're hot right now. They are the hot hand, no question.
Okay.
I mean, is there, like, I look at them and the size stands out to me. The other thing that stands out to me that's different from Toronto is the two-way play of their defensemen. Like, you know, Werenski, Jones, these guys look like game-controlling, series-controlling defensemen. Am I overrating that, or is that a concern?
I would say slightly you're overrating both. I like them both a lot. I think they both still are. I mean, when I think game-controlling, I think Bork, right? Denny Potvin at his high end. Even to a degree, different player Leach when he was really on top of it with the Rangers. I don't see that they're there. But again, you know, stylistically, I don't think they rely on that type of a player. I don't know if anybody does anymore. They're both very good players. Seth has size. Werenski is still ascending. I don't think he's close to what he can be yet. So if we do comps there, I could say the same thing about McAvoy. We haven't seen enough of McAvoy to know if he's really going to staple it as a number one pairing. We can say that of Chara, but Chara at age 42 and where he is and always been a unique commodity, it's hard to make that sort of parallel comparison.
Kevin Paul DuPont, what or who has to be better for the Bruins round one into round two?
Well, that's a good question. I think they need to see more from their wingers. Especially Jake, who finally got a goal up in Jake DeBrusk up in Toronto in Game 6. That took too long. I think you got to see more from Pastrnak too. He wasn't the force that you thought he could be.
I thought he was brutal.
Yeah, at times he was.
I thought he was brutal in that series.
Yeah. Now again, they've played around with where he is. Right. It goes from first. They go from the comfort of that first line being so dynamic, and through necessity having to bump him down. I like him better on that first line.
I like him better with Krejci. I think they need to spread it out. It's just on Pastrnak. Hang on to the freaking puck.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe being too reliant on trying to rip home that one-timer from the left wing dot. But again, they're all of these teams have their foibles. That's one of them for them. They're very good at center. I like what Coyle's given them as a number three center. I love the energy on that fourth line. I've been saying all year, I wish they'd move Corrali up in the order. He's certainly not a classic first or second line player, but he's big and he's tough to get off the puck and he does take it to the wall. All the good sort of heavy sort of, you know, coal lifting that you like to see in a kid and enthusiastic. But they've got him slotted in that role.
What kind of series did you think Bergeron had?
Good. They took away his most effective tool on that power play. They took out his bumper position, so he didn't.
They being the Maple Leafs.
You're right. Yes. The Maple Leafs took that away. But still excellent on the draw. The best draw man in the league in the playoffs again. Smart. Didn't have Pasternak every game I'd like to see that. So now that said, you could see early on he was struggling. I suspected that he had some sort of a groin injury going on. Wasn't himself, but I thought he got better as the series went
on. So groin for Bergeron.
I think so. Yeah, and only going by, because they don't tell you anything, only going by how he was tracking. He didn't seem to have his usual speed and strength in his skating. But I thought by the fourth, fifth game, I thought he was more on his money.
Do you think that they're at a big disadvantage going up against a team that's as well-rested?
I don't think so. I don't think it's so much that. For their sake, I wish they did have that extra day. I think it's asking a lot to end a game around 10 or 11, and then 2 days later, with less than 48 hours, you're back at it. But I think whatever fatigue they might be feeling, be it mental, psychological, whatever that is, versus what asking now Columbus to start from ground zero after a 1 week layoff from a very emotional, not just the series itself,
but historic,
the surrounding story of being having done nothing forever, and to lift off like they did was really impressive. So that should take a game or two if they can regain it.
I'm sorry.
Just go.
Where do the Bruins have the biggest edge? Their biggest edge.
Bruins' biggest edge would be their 1-2 centers. They're that good. I think the goaltenders cancel themselves out. I like Columbus's defense better because of its youth and its high-end ability. But from front to back, I like the Bruins' centers, Krejci and Bergeron, 1-1 and 1A, or however you want to flip that around. That would be it.
But it sounds to me, Dupes, in closing, that you like the Blue Jackets in this series.
I do, yeah. But again, it's a coin flip. If one of these teams wins in six or seven, sure, that's just.
But if you had to put a few of your pension dollars from the Boston Globe on it, it would be on the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Those aren't discounted dollars. So let me think about that. I would. 3-1, huh? I mean, yeah.
Bruins are 3-1 favorites to win the cup right now.
So given the money back, I'd probably put it on Columbus.
Okay. Kevin, thanks for coming by. We appreciate it.
We appreciate it, Kevin.
Look forward to your coverage in the Boston Globe. And make no mistake, folks, the door is ajar and the sea has parted for the Boston Bruins, especially after last night. We'll get to that and your phones right after this.
Stay tuned for more Bruins Game Day with Felger and Maz from the Star Market Broadcast Studio on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Are you okay being Cubs favorites by people above the team?
Call us whatever you want. We know how we feel in the room. We believe we're as good as anybody. We just got to play like it.
before the Bruins. Stanley Cup favorites.
Not unbelievable.
Felger and Maz coming to you from our TD Garden Studios, our Star Market TD Garden Studios, where we are joined by the estimable. Estimable?
Estimable.
Principal. Kevin Paul DuPont of the Boston.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.